Getting a day off today before they begin a weekend series with the Baltimore Orioles with more on the Sox. We're joined on the phone by Eric Avedon, who covers the Sox for the Metro West Daily News. Eric, welcome back to downtown.
Glad to be here, Rich. Thanks.
First time through the rotation, that was a beautiful thing to behold. The second time so far, not quite the same results. Rough outing for Wade Miley yesterday, Masterson, Buchholz. Is there any level of concern yet about the starting rotation?
Absolutely, there's a level of concern. This was the fear coming into the season, is that a lineup would be pounding out runs, which is what it's been doing, but that the pitching would be giving up a ton of runs. And that's what they're showing so far. Very small sample size, but that's what these guys' histories are. So, absolutely, there's a level of concern. The absence of an ace is rearing its ugly head already.
Well, when we see Buchholz this weekend in start number three, which direction do you think it might go?
I think we'll see something in between. I mean, obviously the first two starts were his extremes. He was superb in that first start, 7 shutout innings, and then he was just a disaster in his second start. I think the 10 runs he gave up were the most in his career. 3 1/3 innings, 10 runs, 2 home runs against a team that's not great. Yankees were squaring him up, no problem. So somewhere in between is what I would expect. But I think that, we'll see these variances with him throughout the year because that's his history. He's 30 years old now. He's been around since 2007. This is who he is.
They did get Koji Uehara back this week, had a nice save in his return from the disabled list, but at 40 years old and with that DL stint, will there be some limits on his use?
I think he will have to be babied along, I think for sure. He broke down a bit at the end of last year, with Ben Cherington later revealed with a little bit of a lower back issue, and you remember, just with that little bit of a lower back issue, that split-fingered fastball flattened out and became eminently hittable to the point where he asked not to be the closer anymore until, he got back on track. And then with just a little hamstring tweak in spring training, again, he was really ineffective. So he's someone who, at this point in his career, probably needs to be as close as possible to 100% healthy in order to be effective. Knowing that, my guess is that John Farrell will be very careful with his usage of Uehara. Probably no saves of more than an inning, probably not coming in with runners on base, mostly starting an inning, and not working more than 2 days in a row, and even working 2 days in a row, not that often.
Mookie Betts had that phenomenal spring training. The numbers haven't been quite as good here in the early days of the regular season, but he has become, in many ways, the most watchable guy on this Red Sox team because he can generate excitement in all phases of the game.
Well, that's the word, excitement. He's an exciting player. He shows it with his glove. He goes and chases down balls in center field. Even when he's not leaping over the fence to bring back a Bryce Harper home run, he's still running down some balls that otherwise, some guys might not get. On the bases, that double steal, when's the last time a Boston base runner obviously not did that exactly, because it's only been done, I believe, 11 times in the last 100 years, although Dustin Pedroia was one of them who did it. But a player who brings that kind of excitement on the bases, who has that kind of speed, and who's going to get on base the way Mookie Betts likely will. He's an exciting player. That's the right word. And he's got a fantastic swing, just a compact swing that, while not slump proof, will certainly mitigate the ups and downs that you might see with a guy who has a longer swing or a lot of movement, to get ready to load up for his swing. Betts is an exciting player. He'll be fun to watch.
You mentioned Pedroia certainly off to a good start and maybe lending some credence to the idea that the last couple of years the power suffered because the injury was bothering him more than he let on. That maybe to me is one of the best positives in the early going.
Absolutely. If this continues, if Dustin Pedroia can continue to hit like this, it adds a great deal to the Red Sox lineup. You're going to get Hanley Ramirez has been fantastic so far. So far, it looks like you're really going to get something special out of him. Ortiz, you know, he's old or he's aging, you never know when that precipitous decline is going to come. But he's gotten off to slow starts plenty in the past. He's hit some balls pretty hard. So even though he doesn't have a particularly high batting average this year, you can pretty much count on some production from him. You got Betts leading off. If you put Pedroia right in there, a Pedroia who's really hitting the ball hard, you have a fantastic top of the lineup there, one that can really do a lot of damage throughout the year.
We're talking with Eric Avedon on the Metro West Daily News. You mentioned, of course, Ramirez and his terrific start. Sandoval has been pretty solid so far over at third base, and really almost at every position. You can look around at this team and say they have improved at virtually every spot in the offense.
Except catcher.
Yes.
Except catcher. But, yeah, just about everywhere else, because you look at Pedroia, you're taking a healthy Pedroia versus an injured Pedroia last year. With Napoli at first base, a similar thing. You know, he was really battling injuries all last year, and obviously he had the major surgery to address his sleep apnea in the off season. So, he got off to a slow start, but he's starting to hit the ball pretty hard right now. So you got to assume that there's going to be some offensive increase there. Third base was a disaster last year offensively, with Will Middlebrooks as the primary third baseman. So Sandoval is a huge upgrade there. Hanley Ramirez is a big upgrade in left field. Center field was Jackie Bradley Jr. last year, who was, a wonderful center fielder but a terrible hitter. That's even if he doesn't have a spectacular first season, you got to assume he's going to be better than JBJ was offensively. So yeah, offensive upgrades all over the place, which just brings it back around to the pitching. That's where this team is either going to make it or break it.
Well, we've had an interesting start to the season with two National League opponents and then the Yankees, who just are not that good overall. Is this the first real test of the early season with the Orioles coming into town?
I think the Nationals represented a good test. What you didn't assume was going to happen with Washington was that they would just be a puddle defensively, because they really – that game that Porcello started could have been a much different game if the Nationals, not to say that the Red Sox would lost, but instead of being a 9-4 win, it might have been, a 4-3 game, a 5-4 game heading to the late innings if the Nationals hadn't just given away a ton of runs with some really poor communication in the outfield and some bad infield defense from Ian Desmond. So I think the Nationals represented a test. It just didn't quite work out that way because they defensively they just gave things away. The Orioles certainly will be a test. The Orioles have proven themselves over the last couple of years to be a good team, even without a lot of star power. They are a good team.
And would you agree here that it's only 9 games in, we're still pretty early, but there does seem to be a much more positive vibe coming out of this team?
Oh, no question. I mean, first of all, they're 6-3. So any complaints there are right now with the pitching, they still are 6-3. There's a stat that they won their first 3 series of the year for the first time since 1952. You start right there. You look at some recent years. Remember, they started 2-10 one year. They've been a poor starting team in a lot of times in recent years. So to be off to a 6-3 start, absolutely plenty of positives, plenty of positive vibes there.
Hey, Eric, I have to ask you in your picture. On your Twitter page, who's that up on your shoulders?
That's my little girl. She's 17 months old.
That's outstanding. I have a 15 month old boy at home. Is she seeing anybody yet?
Not yet. Maybe we can hook him up down the road. Okay. See what happens. Congratulations to you. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's well, awesome. I started late. I'm very late to the party, but I'm going to catch up here soon.
Well, I'm pretty late too. I mean, I'm 45 years old, so.
I got a decade on you, so so we can sit around the nursing home and talk about how awesome our kids are doing.
We can talk about our aching backs as our little babies run around us.
Exactly. Well, I hope you've already started working on that scholarship to BC for her.
We're putting the money into it. We got a little fun started. Absolutely.
Nice. I like the sound of that. Well, that's great. Eric, good talking with you as always. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Rich, thanks as always for having me on. It's a blast.
Eric Avedon, Metro West Daily News, talking Red Sox here on Downtown.